This is Robert in East Tennessee. Got a question for the boss. Terry, as far as cooking with honey and sweetening with it, particularly sweetening things like tea instead of sugar, I understand it's not a one-to-one ratio. Do you use less honey or more honey? Give me your thoughts on that, please.
Thanks for that question, Robert, and thank you for tuning in today to Studio B Live. We're going to answer Robert's question in just a moment. Before we do, I want to welcome you today to Long Lane Honeybee Farm Studio B Live. I'm David, and I'm here with
Sherry, and Christian's here too.
Yeah, our little 16-month-old baby has joined us in the studio today. And we want to thank you all for your interest in beekeeping and tuning in to our broadcast that we love to have on the air for you to listen to get excited about beekeeping. And Robert's question came in on our Studio Bee Live question line. He called the number, and we encourage you to call the number and ask your question, and we'll answer it on the air. The number to call is 217-427-2430. That's 217-427-2430. Ask your question and we'll give it an answer. Well, Sherry, since you're the boss of the operation, is that what he called you? The I think he said you were the brains of the operation. And you are the brains. You know, we are just overwhelmed by the amount of packages and nooks and hives that are being ordered. And Sherry keeps it all straightened out. I'm just a guy. Now, I do pretty good out there keeping the manufacturing, you know, all the wood and metal and screen and everything coming in, organized and production. But the paperwork is your baby. That's good, Sherry.
Yeah. No, he called me the boss. But you're the boss. I'm the brains.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I guess. But, yeah, David does all the manufacturing, keeping all the staff in order, who's doing what, who's building what, how many we've got to get out. You do all that. But you also do all the computer work, all the eBay work, all the honeybees online, along with our son-in-law's done some of that work. And then I do all the record keeping, all the ordering all the supplies and keeping track of who wants bees and sending out invoices. And it's been a work in progress, though, because it's been, you know, in the beginning, we just sent out hives and really didn't do a whole lot else. But now as time has gone on, we've had to learn all the ins and outs of invoicing and giving quotes and paying the taxes. And that's been a lot of work to do that for a small business. It's a lot of work to run a small business.
Yeah, it sure is. And just the amount of materials that comes in and goes out is just, it's staggering. We just keep our lumber yard hopping over there, and sometimes it's really a struggle just to keep enough stuff in place and all. But it's good. We've gotten so much better. We removed a lot of the bottlenecks, so we're able to really stay way up on order fulfillment. It is just great what we're doing on getting orders out so fast. So that takes a ton of pressure off. Because last year, we usually ran, you know, during the bee season, about 30 orders behind. And it takes us 2 weeks to get, you know, if you order today, take 2 weeks to get an order out last year. But this year, man, we're talking only a few days. So it's really good, really good.
Yeah, we're doing really, really good. We're training our 18-year-old daughter to be able to do all the packaging, all the labeling, all the UPS stuff. Mm-hmm. So she's learning to do all that, so that's helping quite a bit too. So,
and we'd love for her to answer the phones because, you know, there's phone calls come in just constantly. It'll probably ring while we're recording this, but I don't know, she's 18. I think she's a little, you know, she's pretty good with bees and everything, but I don't think she wants to lose a customer or make somebody upset. So we're gonna try that. So maybe we can have some of you call in and say, "Is Carrie there? I'd like to place my order with Carrie."
There you go. That'd be really, really nice. Well, you know, I never really trained the kids to answer the phone, David. And you know, the reason why I didn't do that is because when I was growing up, my dad was a fireman, and that was back before the days of cell phones and pagers and all that sort of stuff. So when he was on call, we were not allowed to touch the telephone in case it was the fire department calling my dad in, you know, to come to a fire. So we were never allowed on the phone. We couldn't touch the phone. We couldn't get on the phone. And I guess I just kind of carried that into my adult life, that to me, the phone cannot, the phone is off limits. Of course, now, you know, we have to, you know, run and get the phone too, but we always kind of taught the kids to stay off the phone, which is different because most people with teenagers, you know, their kids are on the phone all the time or whatever, but not around here.
You know, I never thought about that until now, but yeah, like even now, we don't even have a phone. Well, I started to say we don't have a phone in the house. But, you know, we do. Well, the phone system is actually in our building next to our house that we do our B operation out of. And then we just have wireless phones that we carry in the house when we're in here. But, like, Curie or Seth, they don't have phones in their... None of our kids have had phones in their bedrooms, you know. Like, and that's just because we just never encouraged that, I guess. But, all right, well, Robert's getting bored waiting for his answer. He's probably gone. He's probably doing something with his recipe, and he's tired of listening, and he can't wait any longer. I don't know how you're going to answer that, hon. How do you change the recipe if you're going to use honey versus sugar, especially with tea or something?
Well, there's a short answer to that question, and then there's a very long answer to that question. So I'll give you the short answer first, and then I'll explain it with the long answer.
I just have them buy the CD with a long answer on it.
Yes, I have a CD with that for $19.99. You can now that, but the long answer, the short answer is, don't bother trying to do it yourself, Robert.
Oh, that just killed it! Didn't it?
Forget that.
Yeah, we got an answer for you. Yeah, Christian thought that was funny, didn't you? Yeah, Robert, just don't even mess with it. Just forget it, buddy. Oh, Christian really got excited on that. I finally flew my RC airplane somewhat successfully. It made me think of Christian. He was out there watching us. He was just gabbing the whole time. He was so excited. So. All right. You got to be quiet.
Be quiet so we can finish this. Okay, here's the deal. It's actually a very complicated chemistry question that he has asked. And so the fact is that it's not the same ratio. In other words, if somebody had a recipe and they came along and said, well, you know, it's a cup of sugar, I'll just substitute a cup of honey. It doesn't work that way because honey is a thick liquid. And what happens when you add water to sugar, for instance?
It dissolves.
It just dissolves. So there's no, it's not taking up any volume, whereas honey is going to be taking up volume. So it's actually a chemistry equation to try to figure out. And it depends on your recipe and how much other liquid it wants and how much non-liquid is in there before you can figure it out. So it's not one-to-one. So don't anybody think that you can take out all your sugar and then just substitute with honey. And plus, David, honey is sweeter than sugar is. So somebody who might, a recipe that might call for a cup of sugar might only call for 3/4 cup of honey because it is so much sweeter. So you've got that to worry about, too. Okay, well, honey is much sweeter. Plus, it's a thick liquid. It has to displace some of the water. You know, what do I do? It can be so complicated unless you're the kind of cook or the kind of baker that enjoys figuring that out. What you just need to get a cookbook where the recipe writer has already done that for you, because it's just very, very complicated to figure that out with the whole thing. But now there's some people that would enjoy that, sitting around and figuring out how that works out, and maybe they can come up with a really nice, you know, honey cookbook for us all. But I would just say, Robert, just to go out and buy a cookbook that has that in there. If you're cooking with honey, it's not that big of a deal. Like if you're using it for a glaze or you're using it for a marinade or you're using it for some sort of a nice sauce for something that you're cooking with, that's not a big deal because most people, when they cook, can see that your liquid is the right consistency. But when you bake, it's a very precise measurement. And so unless you are able to understand how that all works together, I would just buy a book that already has that figured out.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, I think he did mention in his question that he was wondering about his tea when they were... then you can just go by taste and flavor. You can kind of add a little bit, take a little bit out, and say, okay, that's too much. That's. But I know when you're making it, like if you're making it with bread, and you put, and you're going to take the sugar out and put honey in, then it can really mess up the consistency of the dough and how it bakes. But if you try to match it one to one, it's going to be way too wet, and so you just have to use. Like Sherry said, try to find some good recipes. Somebody else has already blown a few rolls of bread. Somebody else had already did the oops, and then you can learn from them and say, oh, here's how you do it, and that's a good recipe. We have a book like that, don't we, that we sell? We have several books that we sell that have a lot of different recipes in it. But Sherry's mother puts honey in her, is it her coffee or tea every morning? I don't know what, but she goes through a ton of it. I mean, she's our number one customer, so she puts quite a bit in her drink every morning. So if you want to call in with your question like Robert did, remember the number is 217-427-2430, and we would love to have you ask the question on our answering machine, and we'll answer it on our next broadcast of Studio B Live. Sherry, I heard today and yesterday several people told me that it's getting harder to find package bees. It's getting more difficult. Some people say more bees have died this winter, and so beekeepers are replacing them. And I've even been told that people are asking unbelievable prices for packages of bees, and they're out, and people that have to have cash down first to guarantee and everything. So I don't know how much of all that is hysteria or true, or what one person may have just experienced from one company. But I am going to call our provider pretty soon to make sure and see how they're doing on their account. But we're hoping to have hundreds of packages and nooks available in the spring. We've never had a problem before, and I don't think we will this year either, but I want to double-check that today.
Yeah, you need to make some phone calls, because sometimes one person can say start a rumor like that, and, yeah, and it goes through the beekeeping society.
Yeah.
Like you said, like wildfire, and that it may not necessarily be true at all. You know, the weather was really, really bad in Georgia, for instance. Did get a freeze,
yeah.
But we're just going to make some phone calls now and check up on that so that people can know. We have some connections. We can find some people we can talk to. But you know what? You might want to tell the folks too. You're going to be on the TV again. They'd have to be in the area, I guess. But it's going to be. When is it going to be?
Oh, it's going to be this Thursday morning on WCIA, and so Central Illinois television station. So I've been demoted. I went from national TV down to a little local station. But it'd be fun to talk about beekeeping, and we're going to be promoting our upcoming beekeeping classes. And so, yeah, any opportunity that I have to talk about bees and to others and get more people involved in beekeeping, to me that's just a big plus, because we need more beekeepers. We really do. And you know, I had one fellow yesterday that started got into beekeeping, and he said, I saw you on Fox News, I heard what you said, and I thought, boy, he's right, I need to start keeping bees to help the plight of the honeybees. And that's the best way to increase restore the honeybee population in America, is for more people to keep bees.
You know, I was talking to a fellow on the phone yesterday, and he was talking about trying to take beekeeping courses. And in his state, the only one that he could come across was already filled up, and I guess actually had a waiting list, which I've never understood that. You know, I've always been like, you know, if you've got a waiting list, either find a bigger auditorium somewhere or have another class. But sometimes there's some folks that almost act like, I'm too good to have more than one class, you know. So we actually took the February 21st class, and we moved it to a bigger place, and now we have more seats available. So if anybody in the area is interested in coming to the February 21st class, they can call us 217-427-2678, and we can sign you up for that. But also for those who are not close enough and live in other states, there's ways to find out where your classes are. You either need to find out your state bee association and work down from there. Call your local university and find out if they have got classes like that. extension offices, home extension groups may have beekeeping courses, but there are several people who might provide them, and I think that's a big way most people do start keeping bees is by attending a class.
Mm-hmm. And we do have some people that drive very far to our class. I mean, we have someone coming from, is it West Virginia? Or Virginia,
and another
couple of people from Utah, and you know, we're in central Illinois, so make a trip out of it, it's not bad either. Especially if you can't find a class and you know that we have openings, you know, just make a, it's only for, we have a class that's a one-dayer. You know, Sherry, I know what you're talking about, and I won't reveal any names or organizational names here, but I've been a part of beekeeping classes before. And, you know, it's a guarded thing. A lot of times people in those meetings will say, we only want to take 30 students. But I can't understand that. I don't see the reasoning for that. If you want to get more people involved in beekeeping, you'd be happy to have 3,000 people. But, you know, you do have to, there are supplies, there's books. You know, you have to get a lot of things together. A lot to orchestrate. I mean, you know, 3,000 people, you got to think about how to, you know, coffee breaks, restroom breaks. I mean, so some people I don't think want to bother with the dynamics of handling a large crowd.
Well, I don't think there's going to be 3,000 people. Oh, Christian thinks that's funny, Daddy. I don't think there's going to be 3,000 people to sign up for a class, but I honestly think there are some folks who think that, well, if there's more beekeepers, then I'm going to lose money selling my honey, or I'm going to lose money.
Oh, you think so?
You know, providing, you know, whatever, and they don't want other people to know about it.
Yeah, it could
but,
be.
But that's not us. We want as many people as possible to join in the hobby and have a good time with it.
Yeah. So if you are interested in being a part of the class that we're offering on February the 21st. We'd love to have you, and we have room. So get a buddy, get a girlfriend, bring your spouse, your family, and come on over. We're in central Illinois, located. The class will actually be held in Champaign, Urbana, at the Anita Purvis Nature Center. What better place? And we've had bee classes there before. They treat us very nice, very comfortable place. And so it's just going to be a larger facility for us. To have this beekeeping class, call us at 217-427-2678 and register. The cost of the class is $85, and that includes your lunch and refreshments and some books. And I think they get a few free things, don't they?
Yeah.
We'll probably do that again. Was it a hive tool? Some people got a free hive tool or something?
Oh, there's all sorts of goodies and door prizes, too. We give away some nice door prizes, filters and frame grips and all sorts of cool things.
And a new car! A new Bobcat! A new forklift for your bee industry! Chair number 3! Well, I'm kidding. You don't get the new car, the forklift, or the Bobcat, but there are some good door prizes. Yep. Okay, well, let's see. Lots of questions have been... My email is just packed, Sherry. I have got at least 30 to 40 questions that I have not answered yet today that beekeepers have asked. And some beekeepers are calling in and asking the very basics, and I'm having to try to say, look, you need to read our lessons. You know, read my lessons, and then if you have a question, call me. It's hard for me to take somebody from the start to the finish, everything about beekeeping on the phone, and that's why we have our lessons. So if you're really dying to ask a question, see if I've answered it yet on the beekeeping lessons online, basicbeekeeping.blogspot.com or honeybeesonline.com. The lessons are there. And then if you're still stumped, give me a call and we'll work through it. And see, a good question is... you were telling me the other day I need to tell people, I need to speak about things, but painting the hive, we're getting into spring, people wonder what color to paint it. You never paint the inside of it, you only paint the outside. Bees, they're a little bothered by paint on the inside, not the toxicity so much as they like natural wood, and they'll try to pick the paint off on the inside. So don't paint the inside, don't paint the frames, the inside boxes, only the outside, the parts exposed to the weather. And that keeps the hive more weather resistant, so the wood is preserved longer. You can paint it any color you want to. White is a very traditional color. But you can paint it black if you want to. And you might think black will absorb heat and the bees get too hot. Maybe if you're down in southern Florida, but rest of us, we can paint them black if you want to, and the bees don't care. And they'll cool the place nonetheless. So green, a lot of people paint it green, grassy green, or blue, or yellow. I've had yellow. I've had, let's see, what are my colors? White, blue, green, yellow. Those are, I think those are my...
And none at all.
Yeah, we have a few that have not been painted at all, and usually that's supers. You find my supers aren't painted because all at once somebody says, oh my goodness, this hive's really making a lot of honey. They need another super. And we just start, well, we don't have any supers. We'll make one real fast. And so we don't have time to paint it. We just throw it on and let the bees start filling it up. So paint, you can paint it any color you want to. Our hives do come already painted with two coats of exterior paint. And this is... we feel the best kind of paint is the latex exterior paint. Don't use an acrylic paint. We don't recommend acrylic paint or oil-based paint because it can seal the outside of the wood too much where the wood can't breathe. And people in the paint industry tell us that if you seal something like that too much, it can deteriorate from the inside, kind of rot from the inside out because the wood can't breathe. And latex has been, you know, complemented as allowing wood or surfaces to breathe. So we prefer a latex paint. Let's see. Sherry, anything else we need to tell folks? Questions that they may have asked you recently on the phone that you can encourage our other listeners not to call in and ask? You can tell them the answer right now.
I can't think of any right off. It would be nice for folks to see the lessons. They are specifically made for the newbie, although even somebody who's been in it for a while can get a lot of information from that. They're not written like a college professor with all the fancy lingo. You know, sometimes you pick up, there's been a book or two around the house I've picked up, David, that you've bought, and I'm thinking, good night, what did that mean? And David just reads it, you know, because he knows he knows enough now. Oh, there's somebody calling in with an order. He knows enough of it now that he understands what it is. But our lessons aren't written like that. They're written so that any newbie can understand it.
Well, Sherry, your Sweetheart of a Deal special has really done well. And I kind of feel a little jealous, I think, because I've got a hive on there that's called David's Complete Startup Kit, and I think yours, little Sherry's Sweetheart of a Deal, is outselling my David Startup Special.
Honey, I don't think you even sold a startup kit lately, but I woke up one day and there, the day after your last broadcast, and I think there were six right off the bat.
You don't know that I haven't sold any of mine. You're just, that's an assumption.
Well, I'm the one that takes the orders. I'm sorry.
People like you more than they like me.
It's time for my popularity, I guess, right now, but you'll come back. You'll come back in style.
Okay, well, that's a good deal, though, isn't it? I mean, come on. We keep asking ourselves, why are we doing this? But we just want to help more people get started in beekeeping, and this kind of helps a little bit of a discount. You know, every place offers a sale from time to time, don't they? And we just thought we'd be nice and offer a little special little deal here. Christian wants the chair pulled out there. We're getting picked up. Those of you out there that still want to make Sherry feel good about having that special Sherry Sweetheart of a Deal, that's still out there at honeybeesonline.com, and you can click on Beehive from our main page, and you'll see her special deal there, and you'll make Sherry feel pretty good for taking advantage of that Sherry Sweetheart of a Deal. And even though I feel jealous, I won't be too jealous for too long. Now, for those of you that have yet to order your package of bees, there's still time to do that, but don't let it get too far away. Make sure that you call us and order the package of bees that you need. We can handle any quantity. And so give us a call and get that package of bees ordered. It comes Well, here's the deal. If you want to pick it up from our honeybee farm in April, probably the mid to late April, then you can come to our honeybee farm, and we'll have a closer date when we can tell what the spring's going to do, how soon it will warm up. And you can come and pick those up for $75, a 3-pound package with an Italian queen. Now, if you want to have them shipped to you, it's going to cost a little bit more through the postal service. So that package is somewhere between $85-$88 to have the package sent to you. So keep in mind that you need to take care of that as soon as possible. I would sure be disappointed to have to tell you that we're all out and can't ship any bees. Also, we are providing nooks this year, and how many nooks we'll be able to provide, I don't know just yet. Hopefully at least 50 to 100 nooks. And so call in to pre-order your nook. A nook is a 5-frame beehive. It's got the queen already released. She's been laying for a few weeks. And there's brood. There's a frame of honey and pollen and brood in various stages. And lots of bees. And so that'd give you a jump if you want to get a jump on starting your hive instead of a package, because there's already 5 frames of comb built and the queen's laying lots of eggs. So those nooks we sell for $80, and then we have a $30 deposit on the box. Keep the box and we keep the $30. Bring the box back in good shape. We'll give you the $30 box deposit back, and so the nook only costs you $80. Okay, so do take care of that as soon as possible. Don't be left out wondering what to do about your packages of bees. And you need to remember, too, those of you that are taking classes, bee classes around the United States, some classes offer packaged bees. Some of you may be taking a class yet to come and may find that it's too late to order bees by the time your class starts, like in March. So be on the ball. Take care of that.
The Museum of Aviation in Warner Robins today told some unwelcome guests, buzz off. Carly Flynn Morgan shows you who moved out of one of the museum's historic control towers and why that will make guests safer.
Museum of Aviation Director Ken Emery says there's a big buzz around one of the control towers.
They've been up in the top of the tower there for a number of years.
The Cochrane Field Control Tower moved from the Macon Airport to the museum in 1988.
It was installed during World War II, so it's historically significant for us.
But when crews climb the stairs to do maintenance on the historical tower, they're greeted by a swarm of insects.
There's an opening right here where they're all coming in.
Honeybees are endangered, so instead of kill them, the museum decided to rescue and relocate them.
We would like to keep them alive because they're important to the community and the things that they do in pollinating plants.
And that's where they're coming in and out of.
Local beekeeper Steve Knoss gathered his equipment, including a vacuum to suck the bees out of the tower.
There's a serious decline of honeybees and all sorts of native pollinators, so anytime we have a chance to recover some from the wild, then we do it.
Knoss says he's surprised his little buddies haven't caused more problems for workers or visitors.
They're like any animal. They'll protect their hive. And if you were to mess around too close to the entrance, the guard bees would come out and check you out. And if you hung around too long, they might sting.
Emery says he's relieved the bees are gone, and now the only buzz around the museum will be about the exhibits. Carly Flynn Morgan, 13 WMAZ Eyewitness News.
It took Knoss about 2 hours to clear out the bees. He will take them to a local farm. Emery says they are considering safety precautions that would allow visitors to actually climb the tower.
Well, isn't that interesting? You know, bees are going to be swarming a lot, as they always do in the spring again, so we want to be on the lookout here in about, in the south, they start swarming a lot earlier, but here in central Illinois, usually toward the end of April, all the way through the month of May and into the month of June, we can expect to get a lot of calls on swarms. Now, let me tell you that swarms are a natural way that bees reproduce themselves. And I don't mean in population of an actual hive and reproducing their numbers, but in duplicating or multiplying, like parents have children, that increases, that multiplies families. This is the way bees multiply families as well. A swarm means that a hive is doing what it has to do to make two hives. One half of the hive, or almost a half, will leave with the queen, and the other half will stay there, and now you have two hives. So swarming is something that you do see among healthy hives. They're going to swarm. And when they do, they leave, they fly out and usually land pretty close by the hive, and they kind of get their bearings. The queen isn't really all that good at flying really far, so they kind of hang out until they're ready to make that long trip. And the foragers go out and scouts go out, try to find a good place to live. And when they find that good place to live, they come back, they tell the swarm that's now hanging in a tree somewhere not too far from the hive. They say, hey, we found a good place. And everybody follows the scouts into their new home. And this is important for us to realize that those of you that are beekeepers or are becoming beekeepers, listen, you want to make yourself available to help the public deal with swarms, because some people really get freaked out. They're like, you know, what do I do? There's bees. Oh, my goodness. But if they have your contact information, if they know beekeepers in the area, they can call you. Other beekeepers can go, and they can retrieve these swarms before they fly away and put them in a hive, put them in a bee yard somewhere, and let them grow, and you can take care of those like you should. So those of you that are thinking that that's beyond what you would ever want to do, I got to tell you, it's really not all that bad to do it. We retrieve a lot of swarms each year, sometimes 3 to 4 a week, it seems like, during swarm season. And it's a nice way that you can get bees, and that you can also help the public who are not wanting bees on their property, and keep people from killing bees unnecessarily, of course, and take good care of them. And, of course, one of the easiest ways to do that, we use a bee vac that we manufacture and sell. And those bee vacs are available. And, boy, they're nice. When you have a swarm or a hive you have to take out of a house, those bee vacs make it much easier. The gentleman that we heard on the broadcast just a few minutes ago, you didn't get the chance to see the video that I saw. I just gave you the audio, but he was using a bee vac to safely retrieve, vacuum the bees into a cage, and then transport them into a hive at a location on his farm. So be thinking about going around to your hardware stores, your grocery stores. Put some notes around, contact the pest control people in your area, and tell them you're a beekeeper to call you when they find some honeybees.
And now it's time for Back in History.
This is a look back in history in beekeeping. I'm going to look back to 1937. 1937, this is 2009, that would have been 72 years ago. You know, what's interesting about 1937, by the way, is the piece of property that our honeybee farm and house is on, located here in central Illinois. I actually saw, I went online into the University of Illinois archives. It's online, you download a little program. But anyway, I was able to get an aerial picture, a very clear aerial picture of my home that I live in now, taken in 1937. And I was amazed at what the, you know, how 72 years can make a huge difference in trees. I thought there'd be more trees, but there were less trees. We have a forest that's just west of our house that's very dense forest. But in the 1937 picture, there's only just spotty trees, one or two or three trees, so it's not very many trees in that picture. And yet, there's houses where houses are not today, and there's houses today that were not there. I mean, it's just interesting. But anyway, back in history, let's look back. I'm looking at American Bee Journal from August of 1937. And those of you that have never seen one of these old bee journals, it's just a hoot to go through here and look at some of the prices of what things cost in 1937 in the bee industry. For example, mated Italian queens. I mean, this is 72 years ago, and people were keeping bees the same way they are now. And this is an ad from Stover Apiaries in Mayhew, Mississippi, selling mated queens, mated Italian queens, 50 cents each. Wow. 50 cents. And then they say there's a 15% discount to dealers. Woo! Sent by airmail at no extra cost if you so specify. Wow. 50 cents for an Italian mated queen. Those of you that don't know what queens cost today, a mated Italian queen generally costs probably an average of $20 before shipping today. That's how much that price has gone up. There's some extractors in here. This is called the Standard Churn Company. And you can get a 24-frame radials for $78. A 2-frame reversible extractor for $21.50. Can you imagine that? Wow. Unbelievable. You go through these catalogs and you just look at these prices and you think, boy, prices have really gone up since 1937. And then here's a ad, and it's for Max Queens. And it says in the article, remember, these are 1937. And by the way, when I said queens are 50 cents, in case you tuned in earlier and didn't hear that I was reading from a book from 1937, don't call the order a 50 cent queen. They're $20 now. But 1937, this ad is near me. This ad, the location of this gentleman is in Robinson, Illinois, a little bit south of me. But it says Max Queens. Head your colonies with Max Big Vigorous 3-band Italians, the only breeder in the world that gets all his cells started and completed in queen-right colonies, just the way bees do it naturally. The cells Max produces are as near perfect as bees can build them, and the queens that emerge from them will, in due time, speak for themselves. You can depend on Mac for better queens. Prompt service and fully guaranteed for only 50 cents each. Herman McDonnell, Robinson, Illinois. That's in 1937. It says the Bee and Honey Man. So that is amazing. Hey, but one of the things I want to share with you, by the way, a lot of these bee companies do not exist anymore. I don't think that one does that I know of. I'm here in Illinois. Never heard of that one. But one of the things I wanted to read to you out of this magazine is an article, and it's something that I've talked about. I don't know if I've talked to you about it on our broadcast, but I've talked among beekeepers and I've talked among bee classes about that when we overwinter, maybe I have talked to you about this, but when we overwinter a colony, many beekeepers only think of sugar. We only think of honey. We only think of something that they can eat that has carbohydrates, like we're feeding our bees fondant, kind of like a cake icing. I don't think I've given you that recipe either, have I? I need to do that. Maybe I have, but yeah, I've been putting a special candy type mixture that I make on my hives to get them through the period of late winter and early spring when there's nothing out there. When they do start flying a little bit and breaking up the cluster just enough on warmer days that they need a little more food. But one of the things that we don't often hear about is that bees need pollen. They really need the pollen as well. And a lot of beekeepers make the mistake of not thinking that bees need pollen in the winter just as much as they're going to need sugar or stored honey. So here's an article from 1937, and listen to what this article says. It's from the editorial, and I'm not sure who the editor is here without doing a little research. It's got the man's picture, but his name's not by his picture. Anyway, the article says, reserve supplies of pollen for winter.
The recent investigations of the staff of the Bee Culture Laboratory has changed the accepted idea as to winter requirements of the bees. The importance of an ample supply of stored pollen, which had previously been overlooked, now appears to be as necessary as the amount of honey. With plenty of stored pollen, the bees are able to overcome severe handicaps in the way of adverse weather conditions. A knowledge of this fact makes clear some things which we formerly failed to understand, such as the difference in behavior of colonies of similar strength at the beginning of the winter. It also explains the great difference in results of the same method of wintering in different seasons. And so that they were on to things. I've told people that I don't know if we're getting any better off with our knowledge of beekeeping than these boys had it back in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. Man, they knew what they were doing. They were doing a good job doing their research and homework, and it's fascinating of the intelligence, the knowledge, the understanding of honeybees 70, 80 years ago without modern-day technology and research. It's just really neat. But that's a look back in history to 1937 from the American Bee Journal of August of 1937. So make sure your bees go into winter with plenty of honey and plenty of pollen. And then just be thankful that today we're still in the process of making and selling queens, though the price has gone up $19.50. Well, in preparation of our April the 24th queen rearing class that we are having here at our honeybee farm this year, I've been doing a lot of research and reading about queen rearing and breeding, and I have found that, boy, it is really, when you talk about queen genetics, bee genetics, it is really interesting. And something that you can't do with a migraine headache, or if you're got a rock in your shoe or something, it's, you have to be solely devoted to, without any distractions, to think about the genetics of the honeybee colony. And for example, I want to read for you a little bit from a book called Bees, Biology and Management by Peter Kevin. And this is an interesting section on genetics and breeding. I was able to choose a section that I could pronounce all the words in. that was a criteria for choosing a section. But more so, these are things, since it doesn't have the complicated phrases of genetics, this is a section I think you'll understand me reading to you and then appreciate how complex the honeybee really is. Listen to what it says. The genetic organization of a honeybee colony comprises a superfamily of sisters and half-sisters in their worker force, sisters and half-sister queens when reproductive females are produced, and genetically identical brothers. Genetic differences between half-sisters arise because the queen mates with several drones. And each sister family has the same mother and father, but the half-sisters differ by paternity. Sisters also have genetic differences, but those arise because of the different ways in which the same set of genes combine during the process of reduction, division, to eventually result in eggs. There is much less opportunity for recombinations to arise when sperm are being produced, but they do. Calculating how closely honeybees in a colony are related to one another is interesting. The sister families have an average of 75% of their genes in common, so they are super sisters, meaning queen mother and the same drone father. The half-sisters share 25% of genes in common, meaning if drone fathers are unrelated. Full sister relationships exist if brother drones inseminate one queen. One can appreciate why there is a question about the possibility that super sister workers should preferentially rear larva super sisters rather than larval half-sisters. But they do? Or but do they? The answer for research is not clear. With the array of relatedness that honeybees present, super sister queens and workers, full sister queens and workers, half sister queens and workers, and genetically defined drones, bee breeding has taken a number of approaches to improving stock and understanding selection. The potential for obtaining inbred line, hybrid offspring, selected stock, and line breeding to improve honeybees is great, especially through instrumental insemination. Nevertheless, the ever-present potential problems of inbreeding, depression, and diploid drone production mean that bee breeders must be careful. Woo! I know that's a lot to chew on, but the next time that you order a queen from us, just be thankful that the $20 goes for us to worry about all of that, and you don't have to think about it. because it is complicated. It's not complicated raising queens, but it's complicated trying to get the genetics that you want and making sure that none of the bees are inbreeding. And that's from an interesting book, Bees, Biology and Management by Peter Kevin, K-E-V-A-N. And it is a very scientific book. If you want to get that, it's not easy reading by the fireplace. So it's available probably on Amazon or something. But it's a lot in there about everything you need to know about honeybees. Well, that's all the time that we have for today's broadcast of Studio Bee Live, a production of Long Lane Honeybee Farms. I'm David Burns, and I'm happy to be with you today, and it's been a pleasure talking about honeybees with you. Listen, my wife and I, we love honeybees. Honeybees are our business. We enjoy them. We really enjoy and get a bang out of watching other people get started keeping bees. We're having a blast doing it. Hey, it's a lot of fun, all right? And it's just enjoyable. Even when the bees may die because, you know, they're livestock, they're insects, and winters are hard, sometimes they do die. But even if your bees have died this year, don't despair. Just keep going. You got some drawn comb, shake out the dead stuff, buy another package or a nook, and keep on going for another great year. You gained a lot of experience. So we just want to encourage more people to start keeping bees and continue to keep bees. We're here to help you become a beekeeper and enjoy keeping bees. If you'd like to talk to us, give us a call. Our telephone number is 217-427-2678. That's also our order line. We sell everything to do with beekeeping. We manufacture the beekeeping hives, the woodenware. We'd love to sell you a hive and get you started. And we sell all the protective clothing, smokers, hat veils, hive tools, feeders, foundation, and anything else to do with beekeeping. And you need to order it, just give us a call, 217-427-2678. Now, we also have this broadcast known as Studio Bee Live to help you find out more information and to kind of kill some time and talk to folks about beekeeping, and we'd love for you to call and ask your questions. We have a question line that has an answering machine that picks up when you call with your question. That number to ask your question to be played on Studio Bee Live is 217-427-2430. 217-427-2430. Call it, ask your question, and we'll answer it on our next broadcast, and our answer will go to help other people who were wondering the same thing that you were brave enough to ask, but they were too scared. So there you go. Help the beekeeping community out by asking a good question. And if you'd like to look at our website, it's honeybeesonline.com. Love for you to stop by, take a look. We have basic beekeeping lessons at basicbeekeeping.blogspot.com. And if you'd like to email us, just drop an email to david@honeybeesonline.com. david@honeybeesonline.com. Hey, until our next broadcast, remember to behave yourself.